Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, February 3rd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky and Florida, Saturday afternoon in Gainesville. Incredibly amazing and ironic timing for Coach K's return to Duke. A milestone that could be hit Saturday, or is it really a milestone? Art Briles is a shady mother bleeper. Joe Mixon figures out what life in the NFL will be like. Butch Jones in Tennessee has a different recruiting angle than the rest of the world. Oh, by the way, the Super Bowl is Sunday, and we'll pick that game along with three, count them three, upset specials for Saturday afternoon in college basketball. And believe me when I tell you, you ain't gonna like one of them. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Number 8, Kentucky, travels to Gainesville to take on number 24, Florida. Kentucky 18-4, 8-1 in the SEC. Florida 17-5, 7-2. We all know Kentucky. Who is Florida? Ranked number 24. And of their five losses, four of them were really tough games. They lost to Gonzaga. They lost to Duke, Florida State, at South Carolina. The one questionable loss they have is at home to Vanderbilt. But then again, who has this team really defeated? Their best three wins, Miami, Tennessee, Arkansas. Not exactly Final Four material. But then again, who are the best three teams Kentucky has defeated this year? North Carolina, Michigan State, and South Carolina. Better than Florida's list, but I can find a lot better, believe me. Gone are the days of Billy Donovan at Florida. I have one question for you. Who is Florida's head coach? What's his name? His name is Michael White. And before he came to Florida, he was at Louisiana Tech for 4 years. What happened at Louisiana Tech? Nothing. They never made an NCAA tournament. Now, he had good teams with really good records. In his last 3 years at Louisiana Tech, his conference record was 44-8, yet he still did not make the NCAA tournament. This is a very, very defensive-oriented team. According to Ken Pomeroy, Florida's 20th in the nation in offensive efficiency, but 7th in defensive efficiency. According to the ESPN BPI, Florida is the 5th best defensive team in America. So this team is heavy on the defense, and of the games they've won this year, they've never given up more than 76 points. And we all know Kentucky is averaging in the mid-80s. But this Florida team is starting to come around. Since they lost two games in 1 week to South Carolina and Vanderbilt, they're 3-0. And none of those three games were close. They beat LSU by 35. Then again, who doesn't beat LSU by 35 these days? They beat Oklahoma by 32. And then last night, they beat Missouri by 39. Then again, who doesn't beat Missouri by 39 these days? So are these ridiculous defensive numbers the product of two of their last three games being against LSU or Missouri, or is this team the real deal? Ken Pomeroy overall has Florida ranked number 9 and Kentucky at number 5. ESPN BPI has Florida ahead of Kentucky. Kentucky's 8, Florida is 7. Jeff Sagarin has it a little closer to what the AP poll has, but not much. Sagarin has Florida 11th. Kentucky 3rd. Not only has Florida won those three games in a row, they've obviously won 3 in a row against the spread, while Kentucky has lost 6 of their last 7 against the spread. Kentucky does have the advantage of winning the last 5 games against Florida. And of course, we all know ESPN Game Day will be in Florida this weekend. Not necessarily because Florida is some great team or popular demand is just begging to see Florida basketball again. No, the reason is a lot of people watch Kentucky basketball, especially here, but still they have cachet around the country, like few teams do. But who really needs this game more? You ever heard that lame excuse? Oh, this team needs it more. They want it more. Well, Kentucky better want this game, because I'll promise you right now, they lose this game, they might just lose the SEC regular season title. And Florida is coming off 3 monster blowout wins. Couldn't come at a worse time for Kentucky. Kentucky's 8-1 in the SEC. South Carolina 8-1 in the SEC. Florida 7-2. Florida gets this one, they're right back in business. I can promise you this though, Florida has a lot more experience on the floor than Kentucky does. Tomorrow they'll start three seniors, a junior, and a sophomore. And we all know Kentucky starts four freshmen and a sophomore. And by the way, what is Kentucky's true road game record this year? 3-2. And the three wins are against Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and Mississippi State. So it's not like they're lighting the world up on the road. And with Florida having one of the best three-point defenses in the country, having the home court advantage, and having a lot of revenge in their minds, it's tough to go against the Gators. And in fact, we won't do it. Upset special, ladies and gentlemen. Florida will defeat Kentucky on Saturday afternoon in Gainesville. And I'm sorry to put it this way, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sorry if that upsets you. We're just trying to pick the winners. We don't care who it is. Gators over Wildcats tomorrow. Take that to the desert and smoke it. And by the way, we'll have a couple of more upset specials later in the show.
You could put you in the picture there. You could have been with Liz. You could have been with the horse. You could have been playing pool. You could have been a lot of things like that.
I got just enough problems with my mother-in-law. Don't put me in a position like this.
Well, what's another nag to a guy like you?
Other college basketball. Oh, goody. Coach K is returning to Duke on Saturday. That's got to be just wonderful news for Duke basketball. While Coach K was gone, Duke went a mediocre 4-3, couldn't figure out their rotation, didn't know who to start, didn't know who their best player was, didn't know pretty much anything. Then all of a sudden, Jeff Capel wins two big road games. And in fact, we didn't think he'd sweep both of those road games, but he did. So now what happens? Four of your next five games at home? Oh, it's time for Coach K to come back. Got through the tough part of the regular season, might have figured out a rotation, played four out of six games on the road. Yeah, sure, I'm ready to come back now. Oh, and by the way, big game against North Carolina this week. Can't have Coach K missing that media opportunity where all ESPN does is kiss North Carolina and Duke butt for 48 hours straight. So, Coach K comes back against Pittsburgh on Saturday. That's just wonderful. My big question is, did Jeff Capel coach himself out of a job at another school by only going 4-3 with these guys while Coach K was gone? Maybe he did. Thanks a lot, Coach K. You ruined another guy just so you could look better.
It's one thing, the 15-2. It hadn't happened in 11 years. But then you factor in that it's Duke. And what you have here, folks, one of the all-time shockers. Lehigh defeats Duke in the NCAA basketball tournament.
More coaching news. Jim Boeheim has a chance for his 1,000th win tomorrow as Syracuse takes on Virginia. Or he has a chance for his 899th win tomorrow, if you ask the NCAA. Why? Because a couple years ago, Boeheim had to vacate 101 wins. So, does Boeheim have 1,000 wins if he wins tomorrow? Or does he have 899? Depends on who you ask. But the NCAA has already told Syracuse, you cannot celebrate this as if it is 1,000 wins, because in our eyes, he does not have 1,000 wins. Well, there's a buzzkill for you. By the way, the only other coach with 1,000 wins, of course, Coach K at Duke, who just has back surgeries whenever he feels like he can get out of losing some games he probably should win, but I digress. So good luck, Boeheim. Good luck on your 1,000th win or 899th or whatever you want to call it. Either way, you're not getting it against Virginia tomorrow. Talk about a team with revenge. Virginia's got it. And from that Elite Eight game collapse of all collapses last year.
Syracuse was down by 16. Jim Boeheim and Syracuse have done it. They're going to the Final Four.
Another day, another criminal allegation against the Kansas player. LeGerald Vick is no stranger to the police blotter, but now Josh Jackson, the star of Kansas's win against Kentucky, now he and Vick have been accused of vandalism. Kansas better get this NCAA tournament over with or they're going to run out of players because they're all going to be in jail if this keeps up. The last 2 weeks, I've heard four different charges against three different players, and two of them got charged twice. What the heck's going on in Kansas?
Still plenty of time for Kansas.
No! And Bucknell has pulled the upset.
College football. Court documents have been released in which Art Briles can no longer say that he's so innocent because now we can see his text messages and now we can see exactly how he was covering everything up. Wow, what a shocker. We've been saying on this show for a long time, that Art Briles knew literally everything that was going on. Oh, but yet people stood by him, and Art Briles is going with the, oh, boys will be boys, that kind of thinking. Dude, that doesn't work anymore, especially with now that we have proof that you're a liar, even bigger than we thought you were to begin with. I hope Baylor goes straight down the toilet. I tweeted out last week that SMU paid players and got 2 years of a death penalty. And you're supposed to tell me that this isn't worse than what SMU did? Can't see the forest for the trees. Baylor football shouldn't even be playing next year.
Ric Flair is robbed. The cheaters, the savages, him and his old lady. Old lady, take Perfect and I and Ric Flair down the road and do a number on us. Pull his tights and steal the WWF championship.
You know something? You'll never learn to be a great winner until you can learn to be a good loser.
I'm not a good loser.
Speaking of people who may or may not play, Joe Mixon, the running back for Oklahoma, who we've talked about on this program a lot, who punched a woman right in the face, was not invited to the NFL scouting combine. Wow. He turned pro because he had been given a first-round NFL draft grade so he can cash in on his talents. But what he didn't figure out is that nobody in the NFL is going to touch this kid because he's toxic. Another kid didn't get invited, and his name was Ishmael Zamora. And of course, he's from Baylor. It all goes back to Baylor, right? He's a wide receiver who missed 3 games this year because he got caught on tape beating up a dog. He only missed 3 games for that, and he got 63 receptions, 809 yards, and 8 touchdowns. What do you have to do to Baylor to miss time? Apparently, you can do anything at Baylor. Isn't Baylor a Baptist school? What's the 11th commandment at Baylor? Thou shalt commit crimes as long as it allows thee to win football games? Unbelievable. But back to Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is learning what Ray Rice learned a couple of years ago. If we don't have video on you, you're okay. But as soon as we see the video, ball game over. Tyreek Hill was one of the breakout players in the NFL this year. And he was a rookie with the Chiefs. And he didn't get drafted until the 5th round. Why was he not drafted until the 5th round? Well, he was guilty of domestic violence, beating up his pregnant girlfriend at Oklahoma State. And he got kicked off the team and had to go to Valdosta State and play the rest of his career out. But the only difference between Tyreek Hill and Joe Mixon is that we have video of Joe Mixon. That's why Joe Mixon will never play in the NFL, and Tyreek Hill is going to go a lot earlier than he should in your fantasy football draft next year, because we had video. Ray Rice only had a 2-game suspension until that video came out, and he hasn't played since. And that was 3 years ago. So good luck to these guys who got caught on video doing bad things. You're screwed. Tyreek Hill, no video, no problem.
Now then, Bobby Heenan, at the risk of sounding negative, you look awful.
What a nice guy you are. You look awful.
Terrible.
I feel horrible. But one good thing, if I dropped dead on the spot, I wouldn't look as bad as you do, you miserable.
Tennessee coach Butch Jones, very happy with his recruiting class. And as we say all the time, we don't know anything about recruiting. We don't claim to know anything about recruiting because it makes for bad radio. This show is piss poor enough, even without having to talk about recruiting. But when reporters asked him how come he only had 1 5-star recruit while Alabama had 6 5-star recruits, by the way, who assigns these stars? That's all I want to know. What makes a 4-star so much better than a 3-star? Your guess is as good as mine. But Butch Jones, in reply to asking why he can't recruit as good as Alabama, said, you know what? We recruit guys with 5-star hearts. Oh, first of all, you just insulted the entire Alabama recruiting class. Second of all, how much does that 5-star heart matter on Saturday afternoon when you can't stop Alabama running the ball down your throat? It doesn't help you at all. I'll take the better players over the gutsier players any day of the week. And if you're smart, you would too. This is a coach that literally just cannot recruit as well as Nick Saban. And then again, nobody else can either. So it's not his fault. But don't give me these lines that we don't recruit 5-star players. We recruit 5-star hearts. That's not exactly the way these players want to be described, I can promise you. By the way, how is Butch Jones still coaching in Tennessee? Please, someone tell me.
Very nice. Thank you very much. Now, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
More recruiting news. I saw a headline this morning. Dabo Sweeney admits to paying recruit. It was early this morning, so I fell for the headline. So I clicked on it. And you know what happened? I forgot. He recruited his son to Clemson. So yes, whatever website did that, you got me. Congratulations.
Not a good gambler. I lose every time I gamble. Doesn't matter what on a football game or a horse. I bet a horse a while back. You know you're not a good gambler when the horse you bet on comes out of the gate wearing a corrective shoe on one hoof. Ooh, I didn't see that. Come on, Gimpy. I know, you think the name would have gave it away.
NFL football. Hey, guess what? It's the Super Bowl this weekend. Kyle Shanahan, the Falcons offensive coordinator and soon-to-be 49ers head coach, came out and said, oh yeah, I liked Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo more than Johnny Manziel at the draft a couple of years ago. Of course you did. Everybody says that. Now, very nice. But of course, Johnny Manziel, what does he care? He just made $99 a pop yesterday signing autographs for anybody who wanted one. That's a nice gig. $99 a pop for an autograph and you don't even play in the league anymore. Not bad. At least he can afford to go out tonight. It looks like the big quarterbacks on the free agent market this year are going to be Tony Romo and Jimmy Garoppolo. If you're the Patriots and you have teams like Cleveland and Chicago already lining up to try to get your backup quarterback and will seemingly give up everything to get him, Belichick just has to be laughing at these people. Same with Tony Romo. How many games do you think Tony Romo is going to play before he gets hurt when he has to play for the Cleveland Browns or the Chicago Bears next year? Not many. But of course, the Tom Brady hatred continues. Tim Brown of the Raiders, always a Raider, said that if not for the Tuck rule, Tom Brady would still be a backup today. You know what? There's not a lot of validity to that, but there's some. Because Drew Bledsoe is coming back. If Tom Brady didn't win that Super Bowl, is it a guarantee that Drew Bledsoe would have been the starting quarterback the next season? No, there's no guarantee of that. Time-space continuum, just like Back to the Future told us. But then again, that Tuck rule, that was a big pile of crap. That's when we figured out Belichick was a lot smarter than probably everybody in football when he pulled that rule out of his butt. Super Bowl hype week, finally almost over. We can get down to the game finally. Michael Vick announced his retirement today, but then again, he's in reality been retired for a couple of years now. Atlanta a buzz over this game, and why shouldn't they? It's hard to figure out who still is the most loved quarterback in Atlanta. Michael Vick or Matt Ryan? I still think it's Michael Vick to this day. And you're talking to a guy who lived in Atlanta over 20 years. Michael Vick is still the most loved quarterback in Atlanta, despite of what he did, killing and electrocuting dogs and making them fight each other. Yes, Michael Vick is still the most loved quarterback in Atlanta history. But if Matt Ryan wins this one tomorrow, it'll be close. But I still think it'll be Michael Vick. Atlanta, who a few years ago, well, probably around the turn of the century, put late night hours on how long bars were supposed to be open on Sundays, only till midnight, are going to stay open this weekend until 2:30 Sunday night because of the football game. Which leads me to one thing, and I say this almost out of shame. When I first moved to Atlanta, Sunday nights was a great night to go out. And believe what I tell you, in the 90s, Atlanta bars did not close at midnight on Sundays. There's a place called the American Pie, look it up. That was a place to be on Sunday. I digress. But when Buckhead went down the tubes, and then people like Ray Lewis came down and allegedly may or may not have murdered two people in Buckhead the night after the Super Bowl. Well, if he didn't do it, who did? Because the real murderers are still out there. Kind of like OJ's murders. But I digress. Point is, Atlanta has changed a lot over the years. When I went to Atlanta, there was probably a little over 3 million people there, and it was a growing city. Now, it's 6 million people, and people call it Black Hollywood. A lot has changed. But you know what hasn't changed? The Atlanta Falcons. 50 years, 0 Super Bowls. Does that change this year? Let's see. We love teams that cheat on this show, so we have to like the Patriots. But then again, good God, I lived in Atlanta forever. I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends, and it ends badly for the Falcons. Screw it! Give me the Falcons +3. Easy money this weekend. And if you're so inclined, you might want to take the under too. We're going to take the Falcons to win this game. Who cares that the number one offense is playing the number one defense, and the number one defense always wins in a spot like that. In 27 of the last 30 Super Bowls, whoever the public has more money on in Vegas, the other team has won. That is impossible to go against. And who has more people on? And which team has more support right now out in the desert? New England. Give us the Falcons +3 and take that to the bank and smoke it.
Hey, Mo, You want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
More NBA! Couldn't wait to watch NBA on TNT last night, just so we could see Charles Barkley talk about LeBron James. What has the NBA become now? Nobody really cares about the stuff on the court. It's all about the talk off the court. Why does ESPN keep the NBA? When do they get their best NBA ratings? Summertime! Free agency! Crazy! Of course, Charles Barkley took the high road on Thursday night, calling LeBron the best player in the world today, and simply leaving everything to on-court actions. And that LeBron did not have to go personal, which LeBron did. LeBron took it personally, and he went personal on Barkley, something Barkley never did to LeBron. Advantage, Barkley. Then again, there's a video out there from TMZ with Charles Barkley at the Cuckoo Room in Atlanta, and you can only imagine what that is, who took the microphone saying, F the haters. And of course, Barkley didn't stop with LeBron last night. He also told Shaq that Shaq wasn't a good fighter, which put a look on Shaq's face to where he wanted to fight Barkley right there. But that's another fight for another day. Who are the winners in all this? Who are the losers in all this LeBron-Barkley hatred? I can tell you who the losers are. All the other Cavs not named LeBron, including Kevin Love, who one day you hear in trade rumors, and then the next day you hear he's not going anywhere. Who knows? LeBron's a big loser in all this because he looks like a sniveling little baby. He's only got one of the best point guards in the league, Kyrie Irving. He's got one of the best big men in the league, Kevin Love. And he's still whining about not having enough players. And another loser in all this, Dwayne Wade. He's in Chicago and taking LeBron's side on this. And he's got his own team issues to worry about with Rajon Rondo. Dude, you need to keep your mouth shut. You're not even in this. But who's the winners in all this? First of all, the NBA. Because people are talking about the NBA, not because of the mediocre basketball you see this time of year, but because of all this drama. Charles Barkley is the winner in all this. Why? He took a stance, he stuck to his stance, and nobody could take away anything he said because you can't argue the facts that Barkley put out there. And that's what we do on this show. We try to put out facts that we research so that nobody can come back and call us crazy for making stuff up. Two more winners. Free agents. It looks like Jordan Farmar has won this free agent battle to potentially sign with the Cavs. Wow, that's a waste of time. But the biggest winner in all this, the Golden State Warriors. Because if these two teams make the finals again, and at this point, I don't know if they will. But if they do, there's no way the Warriors lose this one, whether they go up 3-1 or not. So way to go, LeBron. You're the defending NBA champions. And somehow you've screwed all this up.
All right, the guy, he's got the ball. He's going in towards the painted area, takes a shot, and a white guy got it. He kicked it back out to the black guy. The black guy is dribbling. He goes down the lane, up and under, and he missed it. And a white guy rebounded it for the other team, and then they blow the whistle. Too many white guys on the court. Jesus Christ.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it is Mac Daddy Stogie time. We have two upset specials for Saturday afternoon college basketball. And by the way, if you'd like to follow along with our picks, you can always go to our website, bottomlinelexington.podbean.com, and you can see all of our picks for the college basketball season so far that we give out on this show. We are a documented 19-9 against the spread. That's 67.9%, which is awesome. And we are a documented 12-8 in our upset specials, which is 60%. So if you've been following us this year, and hopefully for your sake you have, you've made a nice little penny. Congratulations. We gave out an upset special earlier in the show. We are taking Florida over Kentucky. Number 24, Florida, to defeat number 8, Kentucky on Saturday. Two more games that we really like. Number 5, Arizona travels to number 13, Oregon. All the talking heads in love with Arizona right now. They've got all their players back. A battle for the Pac-10 conference lead. And why wouldn't you like Arizona in this game? They're 21-2. 10-0 in the Pac-12 conference. Their only losses this year to Butler and Gonzaga. They haven't lost a game in over 2 months now. Oh, but when they lost those games to Butler and Gonzaga, they didn't have all their players. That is true. Arizona 7-3, their last 10 against the spread. But these two teams met twice last year in the regular season, and Oregon won them both. Both as a favorite at home and as a dog on the road. And Arizona last year was a very good team. But then again, so was Oregon, who made it to the Elite Eight. And in fact, Oregon preseason was ranked much higher than Arizona. In fact, some people we respect a great deal at Blue Ribbon yearbooks put Oregon as their number two team in the country coming into the season. But Oregon got off to a very shaky start. They lost at Baylor by 17 points. Then they lost in a Thanksgiving tournament to Georgetown. Since then, they're 18-1. Their only loss being a loss at Colorado last weekend. So Arizona on all cylinders. But Oregon, I think people are sleeping on them, especially after losing two of their first four. And for my money, I'm getting the better team. I think Oregon is better than Arizona. This game is obviously for first place in the Pac-10. And if you don't think Oregon was looking ahead to this game, Thursday night, they played Arizona State in Oregon, and they only won that game by 1 point. The classic look-ahead game for Oregon. So many of the ESPN talking heads on that Arizona bandwagon now. And if they win this game, they'll more than likely not only win the Pac-12, but they'll probably get a number one seed too. But it ain't gonna happen. Oregon wins this game at home, pulls off the minor upset. Number 13, Oregon, big over Arizona on Saturday. And our last upset special of the weekend, number 23 Purdue travels to number 17 Maryland in a huge Big Ten matchup. And who knew this was coming? People have obviously slept on Maryland all year. In fact, we picked against Maryland earlier this week when they traveled to Ohio State, and we lost that one. But who has Maryland really defeated this year? Their two best wins, Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Their two losses, Pittsburgh and at home to Nebraska. That's ugly. Whereas Purdue has gone out and played all covers. Yes, they lost to Villanova. Yes, they lost to Louisville. Those are two top five teams right there. Their best wins are against Notre Dame and Wisconsin. A much more impressive resume than Maryland has put up. Yet Maryland sits at 8-1 in the Big Ten. And a lot of people are starting to catch on to Maryland as if so many teams and so many people are sleeping on them. But Maryland sitting at 20-2 have played exactly zero teams ranked in the top 25. Zero teams that are either currently ranked in the top 25 or were ranked at the time they played those teams. Purdue will be the very first team that Maryland has played that was a ranked team. That is a very poor schedule, ladies and gentlemen, even for a team in a Power 5 conference, especially for a team in a Power 5 conference. This game is at Maryland, so of course, Maryland has every advantage. They're number one in the Big Ten. They're playing at home. Everything's in their favor. But they lose this one tomorrow. Number 23, Purdue. Simply the better team. Goes on the road to Maryland and wins this game. Maryland has won 7 games in a row against the spread. That's exactly the kind of team we love to go against. And Purdue just disposed of another Big Ten team headed for the NCAA tournament, Northwestern, by 21 points earlier this week. Yes, Purdue is the better team, and you'll see why on Saturday. Number 23, Purdue over Maryland, another upset special. So your three upset specials for Saturday, number 24, Florida over number 8, Kentucky, number 13, Oregon over number 5, Arizona, and number 23, Purdue on the road over number 17, Maryland. And you can take those three bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
Good man, black guy with the ball. Good deal. He's a Celtic. He's black, he's got the ball. I like this. Don't pass to the white guy. Get rid of it! And he missed it. Of course he did. I mean, you know what I mean? Jesus Christ, yeah, right there. Right down the end of the court, yeah. Chicago just scored. They don't have a problem knowing who to pass to.
And that does it for the Friday, February 3rd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.